Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Primetime on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, Singapore has topped the Smart City Index for the second year running, and the team behind the ranking has said that the smart cities heading the list had handled the COVID-19 pandemic better. And this year's ranking took into account how 109 cities tapped technology in a lasting way to manage the outbreak. They added that Singapore's response to the crisis was noteworthy, and to find out more, we're joined on the line today by Christos Kaboli, and he's the Chief Economist and Head of Operations at IMD World Competitiveness Centre. Christos, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Rachel. Thank you for having me.
So first tell us, you surveyed and interviewed hundreds of citizens from over 100 countries from April to May 2020, and that's really in the thick of the pandemic. And while you ask questions about technological provisions of their city across five areas such as health and safety, mobility, activities, opportunities and governments, you specifically spoke to them about the pandemic as well. So tell us, what role did COVID-19 play in this year's results?
Undoubtedly, it played a very strong role. And this is because, as you said, it was precisely during the first wave of the pandemic for most of the cities that we studied. Therefore, even though we do not have specific questions about COVID-19, the respondents obviously had the ability of the city to address the issues related to COVID in their minds when they answered.
Mm. And let's take a look at the top of the chart, because who should be in the top spot but Singapore for the second year running? And in your report, you highlighted that Singapore, it has a unique quality to it, but this doesn't make it a role model for other cities. Why is that?
Well, Singapore has performed superbly for a second year. Mm-hmm. It has topped our rankings. And the reason for that is not only because Singapore has very strong infrastructure, it employs technology in all the areas that we studied, but most importantly for us and for the ranking that we produce, the technology that is used really is perceived by the citizens as having a very positive impact in their lives. Because this is what we try to measure. We try to measure whether technology that is used in a particular city is perceived by the citizens in as advancing their lives. So in that respect, Singapore is an example to be followed by all the cities. However, if we think about Singapore, there is a unique component there, which is that national and city interests, policies, and equally importantly, the budget aligns perfectly. Now, think about all the other cities that we study. This is not the case. In fact, we have experienced this mm-hmm. through the news of what is going on right now in the United States, where you see that different policymakers have completely different approaches on how COVID can be addressed, or, for that matter, any other issue can be addressed.
So, Christos, can you give us some examples? Because you talk about tapping into technology in a lasting way to manage the COVID-19 outbreak. Can you give us some examples of some of the technology that you're actually talking about here?
We are talking about applications that essentially make direct impact in the daily lives of the people. For instance, with respect to health, whether there is an application that allows one to make an appointment with a doctor online, mm-hmm. and therefore no need for long lines, whether there is an application that tells you what's going on with the pollution that you have in a city, or whether you can find a parking space, whether there are technological applications that allow citizens to participate in the way the city decides upon what it's going to do, what are the next issues that we'll address, and how the city is governed.
I see. So just staying with Singapore as well, because another interesting element from this year's rankings that it also highlighted the ability of countries to develop cities beyond their capital. Why is that? And what does that mean for, a city state such as Singapore?
Yeah, regarding the first part of your question, having strong second, so to speak, cities is a practice that is followed by many different countries. In fact, in the United States, in every state, the capital city and the economic center of the state are completely different cities. So this is not a new practice. Yet what we see now is that the so-called second cities have managed to use the technology in a way that the citizens find it extremely impactful. Capital cities, large cities in that respect, have issues related to infrastructure, for instance, pollution, traffic, road congestion, and so on and so forth. Second cities may be able to see these problems and align the technology in order to address this issue to begin with.
We're speaking
now,
with
is this a problem with... I'm sorry.
We're speaking with Christos Kaboli, Chief Economist and Head of Operations at IMD World Competitiveness Center. So, Christos, what other kind of shifts did you see then regarding the rankings and when you're talking about this evolution of smart cities and connectedness with other cities?
We generally see that in regions around the world, there are issues, problems that are more pervasive. So, for instance, in Europe, the issue of transportation and the issue of air pollution become fundamental in the lives of the citizens, while in Latin America, we have safety and security as very important issues. As a whole, what we see is that large cities may have reached the levels of providing the benefits of the economies of scale, providing the benefits with respect to education and social life and opportunities and choices. And therefore, new cities may emerge and be able to capture some of these things.
And that's an interesting point as well, because I think the term smart city has really evolved, hasn't it? And you can't really paint all the cities with the same brush or the same term and expect it to cover all the same criteria, can you? Because if we're talking about culturally, there's a big difference, for example, between Boston and Busan, isn't there? So when it comes to the kind of technology that's being implemented, it could be quite different in meeting different cities' needs. So how do you take that into account when you're conducting such a study?
Very interesting observation and very good point. In fact, we do not compare Boston and Busan. Very correct point. What we do is we use the Human Development Index. This is a composite of issues related to health, issues related to education and schooling, and issues related to the income level of a particular country. So cities are basically grouped based on the performance in these three factors as provided by the United Nations, by the Human Development Index. And then each city that we evaluate is evaluated based on the group that it belongs.
I see. So can you tell us then, Christos, how do you see the definition of a smart city evolving as a result of what's happened this year?
Frankly, I don't see the definition that we are using to change much because of the experience that we have in 2020, because we define smart city as the urban area that uses technology that is perceived by their citizen that is impactful. So the technology advances the life of the people who live there. What will change because of what we're experiencing is the technologies that are provided or the technologies that are used. This is absolutely correct, yet not the definition. What will be the important issue, at least from my personal point of view, is how these technologies will enhance the resilience of the city. And what I mean by resilience is how these technologies will allow crises to be detected, to adapt in the new environment, and ultimately for cities to flourish given the constraints that we face at this particular moment.
Well, Christos, thank you so much for your time and your observations and input. It's been really interesting speaking with you.
Thank you very much, Rachel. Likewise.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Christos Kaboli, and he's the Chief Economist and Head of Operations at IMD World Competitiveness Center, here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.